This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. If you would like to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website does contain this program. You can re-listen to it there. The website also has a weekly meditation that you might be interested in, and there's other information on the website that might be of help to you. My testimony and my wife's testimony, that is how we came to know the Lord, is on that website. So if you want either my mailing address or my website address, please get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to read from Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 5, where it says, "The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith." So the Lord says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, if we were to read a comparable passage in Matthew 17 and verse 20, faith as a grain of mustard seed would be able to move a mountain. And wouldn't it be nice if we had the faith to be able to do great miracles as far as this current life is concerned? The apostles seem to be able to do a lot of miracles. And today we seem to be in a day when people say they can do miracles, but the real evidence of real miracles is probably just not there. And most of us, while we would love to be able to heal, while we would love to be able to cast out demons, while we would love to be able to do things for others and even for our families in a miraculous way, it seems like we're a little shy when it comes to that kind of faith, at least as far as most of us are concerned. And so we too could probably pray, Lord, increase our faith. But as I've thought about this, most people think that in order to have increased faith, we have to have an increased intensity in our believing. And I don't believe that's probably what is being taught here. I think that's what's being taught here is that if we're going to have increased faith, we have to be able to appropriate more and more of the promises of God. It isn't a greater intensity of faith. It's an ability to believe God when he makes us a promise. We did that when we were saved, right? You remember when in simple trusting faith you came to the Lord and realized that Christ did indeed die for the ungodly? And if you could see yourself as one of the ungodly ones, you knew that Christ did indeed die for you. Or Romans 5 and 8 says, when we were yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And a simple trusting faith says, well, if God says that, then it's true, and he died for us. And we have, according to the Bible, eternal life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 3 and 36. So when we believed on the Son, when we trusted in the truth that Christ died for the ungodly or that Christ died for us, we got everlasting life. And that was a spiritual thing. And we're at peace with regard to a relationship with God for eternity. But we have an issue when it comes to depending upon God for time. And most of us who are depending on God for eternity have a tendency to depend upon ourselves, upon friends, upon churches, upon the institutions of man when it comes to time. It's very difficult for us to depend simply on the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be good stewards and take care of things, but at the same time, we need to recognize that God does make us promises. For example, he says in Matthew 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." And in the context, he's talking about the necessities of life. We go ahead and make our plans. We depend upon our companies. We are distraught when the economy goes south. But the Lord has said, if you put me first, I'll take care of you. Now, that's how our faith is increased, when we actually believe God with regard to promises like that and put ourselves in his hands and get the peace that comes with doing that. It's interesting, in this particular case, he has placed this matter of increasing our faith after he has talked about forgiveness. And the forgiveness that we've been looking at in the previous section had to do with something very few of us would ever want to do. It's constantly forgiving somebody who comes back and says, I've done wrong, and then continues to do wrong and continues to come back and say, I've done wrong. And the point is, the Lord says, we're supposed to forgive him. Well, now the Lord says, increase our faith, or the disciples say, increase our faith right after saying that. And so I have wondered sometimes if what the disciples are saying is, look, we don't have the ability or the fortitude, the desire to do what you've told us to do in forgiving other people. Now, increase our ability to do that, increase our faith. And then while we haven't read it, we go into the next section where the Lord basically talks about what a boss and his servant's relationship is, and when a servant has done everything he's supposed to do, then he's supposed to take the attitude he's just an unprofitable servant. And so again, increasing our faith, in Luke at least, comes between the teaching on forgiveness and the teaching on being a servant, and recognizing that as a servant, when we have done everything we've been asked to do, we should be humble about it and say we are just unprofitable servants. And it seems to me that what the Lord is saying is that in order for us to receive the teaching that he's giving on forgiveness and on servanthood, we need to have the ability to just believe that what God is saying is true. And so that's what faith always is. It's always depending on the promise of God. Now, I believe that when he says that if we have faith, we could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you, I believe that's probably what would be called hyperbole. That is, it's an exaggeration that the Lord never really expected the disciples to be able to carry out. Now, one of the reasons I believe that is because if we were to go to 1 Corinthians 13, dealing with the issue of being able to move mountains, we find out that that kind of faith is a gift that not everyone has. And so he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, notice not increased faith, but all faith, a faith in all the promises of God, so that I could remove mountains and do not have love, I am nothing. And so I believe that the Lord, when he talks about that kind of faith, he's talking in an exaggerated sense in order to make a point. And one of the reasons I believe this is because if anyone should have been able to move a mountain, it would have been the Lord. If anyone should have been able to move a mulberry tree, it should have been the Lord. And yet we never see that he did that. I think he could have. He could have perhaps said to a mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and the mulberry tree would have done that, but he never did do it. And if he didn't do it, it does seem a little odd to me that the disciples would try to do it, and he never moved a mountain. So if he didn't do it, it would seem unlikely to me that the disciples would be asked to do it. So I think it's probably an exaggeration in order to make his point. And I think it's interesting as we look at this exaggeration that the real issue is, do we have faith at all? And when we come up to a promise of God, do we take that promise and can we believe that promise? Even when it comes to salvation, there's a man by the name of George Mueller who raised, I think, over 3,000 children in England in the 1800s without ever making an appeal for money like we do today. You know, we have telemarketing firms go out and tell everybody what a great job you're doing and try to get contributions in that way. Well, George Mueller thought that he should be able to tell the Lord about his needs and the Lord should be able to meet them. And while there were times when they were almost destitute in that orphanage, yet over the years, the Lord always met their needs. Sometimes they had lots and sometimes they didn't have lots, but the Lord always met their needs. And people would ask George Mueller where he got such great faith. And again, thinking about this matter of increasing our faith, it's like George had an intensity of belief or an avenue to God that other people don't have. But he always said that he didn't have great faith. He just had a little faith in a great God. And as a matter of fact, one of the examples he used to use was that if you put a rotten plank over a stream and you walk on that rotten plank over the stream, you're going to fall into the stream. It's not something you should depend on. But if you put a good plank over the stream and walk over on the good plank, you'll be fine. A little faith in a great God is all we need. And it isn't that we need a great intensity of believing. We just need to believe. And as I talk to people, there's a lot of people who think that they're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, when in fact, I don't think they are. I think they're depending on something that they have done in order to please God. And sometimes I ask them, do you understand that the Lord does not lie and that he cannot lie? And that if we're really depending on him, we have eternal life. One of the things that I find with people is that they'd like to believe they're depending on the Lord when it comes to his promise that Christ died for sinners. But yet, when I ask them if they're going to heaven, they say, I hope so. 1 John 5 and verse 13 says that these things I have written unto you that believe that you may know that you have eternal life. It does not say these things I have written unto you that believe that you may hope that you have eternal life. It says that you may know that you have eternal life. And either you're depending on the promise that Christ died for you and that provides you eternal life, or you're not. And when you don't have the assurance that you are going to heaven, it seems to me that there's a problem with not the intensity of your belief, but there's a problem with your belief, with whether you believe at all. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And either you have it or you don't. And if you have it, that means you have believed on the Son. And if you haven't believed on the Son, you don't have it. And so it isn't the intensity of our belief. Faith in the Lord Jesus is taking God at his word and believing he cannot lie. And a little faith in a great God, as George Mueller said, is sufficient to take us to heaven, just as a little faith in a good plank will take us across the stream. But a lot of faith in a rotten plank will land us in this stream. So my question is, do we take the promises of God and do we ask the Lord to increase our faith so that we can depend upon him when it comes to the affairs of life? And more importantly, have we depended on him when it comes to the issue of salvation? You know, salvation is so simple that most people want to argue with God about it. One of the things that I hear often when people come to faith in the Lord Jesus, when they depend on him, is they'll tell me, why didn't I see that before? It's so simple. It doesn't seem like that's enough just to depend on the fact that Christ died for sinners. But as we increase our faith, we can be better stewards. We can be better servants. We can be more forgiving. We can, in fact, be more Christ-like. And so I trust that as you think about this matter of increasing your faith, you won't be so concerned with whether you have the right kind of faith, but you'll be more concerned with the promises of God, and that you'll pray that you are able to depend on the promises God has made. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened, and we trust that each one of us that are listening today will have needs met, and that we will be blessed as we thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.